You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right, it's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I am your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. Alex, it's been a happening week on the Mandalorian front.
You know? There's a lot going down.
There's a lot going down, and we'll get into all of that and more. The primary purpose of this episode, we're going to be talking about the second episode of Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian, the documentary series, you know, chock full of behind the scenes, kind of a making of thing. So we're going to be talking about Legacy. That was the latest episode. We're probably going to take some voicemails, maybe hear from you guys a little bit. And then at the end, we're going to get into some really potentially spoiler-heavy stuff.
Yeah, it has to do with casting. A lot of you probably already saw that.
It's that one. We're talking about that one.
But we want to maintain the surprise for those who don't want to know. So that's going to be towards the end of the show, and we'll warn you in advance so you can
bow
out.
We'll put up a big old roadblock being like, all right, turn back now if... spoilers ahead. So well, first let's just go ahead and get all the business out of the way. You can connect with us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at The Mando Watch, or on Twitter.
Yes, on and Twitter then, at The Mando Watch.
Yeah, and then at The Mandalorian Watch on Instagram. Correct.
That's right. I wish right. those were the same things, but.
One of them got taken somehow.
Somehow.
We do have a voicemail hotline.
Yes, we do. I've got the number ready.
I'm so glad you do, because... Alex, what would that voicemail number be if you want to call in and leave a question or comment to read on the show?
Yeah, and we've got some fantastic ones that we're actually going to do today on the show, but... Our number, our voicemail hotline is 205-259-6675. That's 205-259-6675. So you can call in with your thoughts, your theories, your questions, and we might get to them on the podcast.
That's right. That's right.
I just said that in my like radio voice. Like I went full radio there.
I find that when we're doing the business and like up top, I'm in my radio voice more just because I'm like, okay, here are specific points we have to hit. And then
this is
later
a job.
On, we get into more of like, okay, this is actually a conversation between friends. Like
right.
It's like it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do have a Patreon.
We do.
Speaking about conversations between friends. And we have really enjoyed doing the Patreon. It's an awesome community we've got going there. We do all kinds of bonus content. We're doing episode commentaries right now. So we've done an episode each month. This month's will be chapter 4.
I can't wait for next month's.
Chapter 5.
Toro Calican month begins in June.
Oh, man.
yeah.
But, Yeah, so and we do all kinds of other random episodes and stuff too. So lots of cool content. So if you are enjoying what we're doing here and you want a little bit more, go check out the Patreon. It's pretty inexpensive. We only have two tiers, $1 and $2. So,
right.
We want to be as inclusive as possible. So
right, and it's really cool. We've got 99 patrons right now, and we are one away from 100. And actually, I just want to kind of take this time. We got a really amazing message from one of our patrons that I think really ties in with what we're going to be talking about with Legacy of Star Wars.
Absolutely.
And like just the topic of the Mandalorian documentary of this past one. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and read that message because I think it's very, very cool.
Let's do it. I'm going to do my best to keep it together and not tear up like I did the first time.
This is from our patron, Jessica. So she says, hello, I'm just writing because I'm feeling nostalgic because it's May 4th. But I just wanted to voice my appreciation and why I decided to follow you on Patreon for your podcast. My dad and I bonded over Star Wars and even got matching Jedi Order symbol tattoos. Unfortunately, he passed in 2016, but we did get to see the first of the sequels together in theaters. Star Wars is something that I cherish, especially with my memories with my dad. We used to go into discussions about lore or why Luke did this or that. I know he would have absolutely loved The Mandalorian, and I wish I could talk about it with him. That's where your podcast gives me joy. You two have a great banter, and I like your outlook on how to view things. You're not angry fanboys. I don't have many people in my life that I love Star Wars as much as I do anymore, but listening to you guys feels like a discussion with two friends. Thank you for the effort in producing this great podcast.
Man, dude, thank you so much, Jessica, just for that message. That really meant a lot to us. And that really is the reason why we do this. It's why we love Star Wars. I mean, my parents, you know, showed me Star Wars at a very young age, and so I've got, you know, a lot of memories. You know, they taking me to the theaters and stuff like that. You know, and The Mandalorian's been something that I've like been able to sit down and watch with my dad, you know, even now. So, you know, it's just, that's the beauty of Star Wars. It ties so many different people from different, you know, across generations, across nationalities. You know, it's a global and timeless thing. You know, like you said, Alex, like legacy really kind of,
yeah,
this episode of the documentary series kind of really brought that home, I think.
Right.
But yeah, Jessica, thanks so much for that message. And, you know, that's why we do this.
Right.
So,
yeah. I just, awesome. I mean, that was such an amazing story. I just had to share that. I asked her if I could, by the way. I didn't just, yeah. You know, put that everywhere, but, yeah, it's just really, really cool what Star Wars means to people, and it's really cool transitioning into talking about legacy. You know, what Star Wars means to these directors of The Mandalorian, and it was really cool to kind of see how they view Star Wars and what it means to them. And it was really, really cool just because, you know, like we talked about on the last episode, this is like Star Wars school for directors, and
yeah,
we get to see what their views, what their thoughts on Star Wars was, and so I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, these kind of conversations are just always fun to hear, and I think we're gonna probably do an episode kind of like almost what they did, just with us on the Patreon sometime here soon. But yeah, it's. I for one, I'm not one of those people who needs all of the people to be making Star Wars and being in Star Wars. I don't need them all to be just the biggest fans of the franchise, you know?
Right.
Like, as long as they can tell competent stories and they're good at their craft, like, that's all I need. But what this really reinforced was that there are, especially with The Mandalorian, with the production of The Mandalorian, with, you know, influences like, you know, Dave Filoni and then Jon Favreau from a very different perspective, and then Kathleen Kennedy even from a more different perspective, you know, from like kind of the producing side and everything. There are forces here that are guiding the ship and making sure that, you know, when those people who have the skills come in to tell the stories. You know, there's Dave and you know, especially there kind of to make sure that they get it, to really kind of pass on the knowledge that he's gotten directly from George.
Right.
And so that spirit, you know, is still alive and well and being passed down. It's almost like oral tradition, like in a way, you know, like, you know, ancient, you know, stories and stuff being passed down. And so it was really cool to see.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, you don't, if you're making Star Wars, you don't necessarily have to be a fan to make good Star Wars. Like, I think in my mind, back to Irvin Kershner,
right,
there'd only been one Star Wars. And like, to be honest with you, I feel like I've seen enough documentaries. I've heard him enough to think, you know, that probably wouldn't be his normal thing he would enjoy, but he arguably made the best Star Wars movie there ever was. Yeah. And then also, like, not many people know this, but Gareth Edwards, towards the end of the production of Rogue One, was kind of taken off of production of Rogue One, and Tony Gilroy was put in charge and, like, really finished that project. Gareth played along. He wasn't like the two solo directors who got fired
Gareth was a team player about the whole thing.
Yeah, but Tony Gilroy really finished that project and basically reshot the entire third act of the movie and finished it. He went on record saying he doesn't like Star Wars at all, you know.
Right.
But that ending was incredible. It's super iconic.
It encapsulated everything that Star Wars is, even from a different perspective. You know, the from the triumph of the human spirit standpoint, from, you know, the self-sacrifice and redemption standpoint, which is, you know, that's really what kind of Star Wars is about, is redemption. And,
yeah.
You know, that third act gets it all.
Right.
Like, even from somebody who doesn't like it. But I think maybe even if he didn't like Star Wars that much, he obviously got it.
He also respects it. And,
right.
And in the sense, like, it's not just approaching it flippantly, right? And obviously they trust him to keep doing Star Wars because he is now the Cassian Andor showrunner.
Yeah.
So we will be covering that on the
for sure.
The podcast, for sure. But yeah, it was just really cool to see, you know, everyone's thoughts on Star Wars and what it meant to them in terms of, like, how George approached it. I thought it was really cool to see from Kathleen Kennedy, her perspective of, you know, like, George was always thinking about it, even when they were doing the Indiana Jones movies, which she was more directly involved in
right.
back in the day. Like, it was always on his mind. And it was really cool to see, too, like, John Knoll talk about, like, how in ILM, you know, they would always ask George, like, hey, are we going to do more Star Wars movies? And he would, you know, kind of do his, maybe. And then one day,
he was like, well,
get maybe. Ready. Yeah, get yeah. ready for it.
It's coming. Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And
I loved them bringing in all the ILM guys and stuff, because I think people don't understand just how big of a fingerprint George Lucas has left on the modern film industry as a whole.
I mean, is there a movie that has gone on without ILM being involved? Honestly, with CGI.
There are, but I mean, ILM's all
like,
over.
I want to say, like, everything. Lord of the Rings, maybe, did they do something different, like Weta or something? But maybe ILM was still involved there. I don't know. It just feels like they have their hand in literally everything.
There's a few big, you know, VFX houses, especially now. But ILM definitely is still, you know, very much the premier. And so even, like, this was a thing for me. I learned how to edit on a program called Avid Media Composer. And it started out as Edit Droid, which, you know, came from Lucasfilm, you know.
Yeah.
And Pixar is also you know, George Lucas was super involved. Pixar is actually the name of the computer that they used first. It was the Pixar, like, computer to do the first, you know, kind of crude CG animation. But I mean, just like, if you think about Skywalker Sound, they're all over everything, and even branches beyond film, you know. I mean, like, George did a lot with Epcot and, like, at Disney World and just entertainment as a whole, you know, like, it's all over everything.
He's always pushing the boundaries. And it almost, to me, like, seems to be one of his main goals whenever he's making a movie is what is a new way and better way I can make this?
Right.
Faster, and more intense.
That's definitely always, yeah. His one direction. that's always definitely at the forefront of his mind, I think. And I think, you know, arguably sometimes maybe to the detriment of the storytelling,
sure.
You know, but it's still a valuable thing, that innovative spirit.
Now, I wouldn't say that to Dave Filoni, because he might go on a 20-minute rant of how it is not a detriment to the story and all of it's super purposeful.
Yeah. Which I loved. That rant is one of the most all time. I just love how there came a point in the episode, and it wasn't even like a great transition into that story either. It just, like, kind of started, and then we're riding this out for the rest of the episode.
Well, it's, I mean, okay, I'll be honest with you. Watching this episode of the documentary, Legacy, I was super frustrated, actually, the whole time, because Jon Favreau has a really bad job of, like, interrupting people.
Yes, he did a lot.
And, like, I get that. I understand, and I don't think he was trying to be rude. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt of, I do the same thing. Like, if I have a thought in my head, I need to say it or I'm going to forget it.
Yeah.
I'm really bad about that, but...
I think also, too, he's kind of in a position... Like, Jon Favreau is not, like, as big of a nerd as Dave Filoni is, right? As far as, like, the Star Wars lore and everything comes from, right? Right? Right. So, like, but... I don't think that means he's any less like enthusiastic about the property. I think he genuinely loves Star Wars.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And so I think being in that position of not necessarily knowing as much, but still being equally excited about it, you know, and also being at a, he's trying to still be the captain, right? He's the captain of the ship, so I think he still kind of feels the responsibility to direct the conversation and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think those things combined kind of led to that. Yeah. But
there was just moments where I'm like, oh, what were they gonna say though?
Right.
Yeah. What were they gonna say? Yeah. But it was really funny. So I think it was Jim Does a Star Wars on Twitter said, Dave Filoni had the most epic, sir, this is a Wendy's moment on this episode, where it's literally like the last 10 minutes of this documentary
is just Dave talking
about the prequels. And it really had no bearing on The Mandalorian at all.
No, I loved it though. I'm here for it.
But he did it. And, if you guys have been listening since the beginning, you probably know this about me. I love the prequels. Like, and really the prequels kind of frame how I view Star Wars in a weird way. Like, to me, like, I kind of view everything out of Star Wars through the lens of the prequels, which is an odd thing to say, I think, for a lot of people. But, you know, if you're a prequelist like me, you probably do as well, which is why you probably like Chapter 5 too, because there's something very prequel-ish about that whole chapter. But like, it was really cool and very comforting to know that there's someone who is making a lot of decisions right now for Star Wars who really enjoys the prequels. Now, that doesn't mean you have to like enjoy everything about the prequels and like,
right, but there are flaws to be acknowledged.
Oh, for sure. Right. For sure. But, like, it's so cool to see. Okay, Dave Filoni doesn't just love the original trilogy. He obviously loves the prequels, too. And I think he gets it in a way that, you know, that other people may not see or understand in a way. Because, I mean, obviously, when he was talking about, like, Qui-Gon Jinn and the Duel of the Fates of how, you know, like, this whole battle's for Anakin and who's going to be like his spiritual father, right? Like, is it going to be Qui-Gon or is it going to be the dark side? Is it going to be Darth Maul? Is it going to be Emperor Palpatine? You could see the light bulb coming on for a lot of those directors. Like, oh, yeah. They never thought about it that way.
Yeah. And I mean, I hadn't cool. thought about it in those specific terms.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm one that while like, maybe the prequels, the craft is not my favorite. Like the fabric in which like the story is told is not woven in the way that I most prefer. I love the overarch, like the themes and the overarching like ideas and story. I love it. Like I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, he basically took the fall of the Roman Empire. The Roman Republic, and how it transitioned into an empire,
right?
And applied that to Star Wars, which was really cool. But yeah. I agree with you. I think a lot of my love and a lot of the love of the prequels that are kind of being showing now is out of nostalgia. Like,
yeah,
the prequels are as old as the original trilogy was, maybe actually older.
Yeah.
When, you know, the prequel started coming out for me, you know, like I was 9 when episode 1 came out.
Yeah.
So it hit me in the sweet spot.
Yeah, and you know, that may be also kind of, and this is transitioning into our personal relationships with Star Wars, which
it,
is fine.
It's kind of hard not to talk about it with this episode.
I think that's what this, like, episode lends itself to. It's just a bunch of the people who are making The Mandalorian doing the same thing that we're about to do, right?
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I think I loved the prequels as a kid. Like, I thought they were the coolest Star Wars. And then I revisited the older trilogy after kind of an absence for a little bit. And when I was also learning how to make films. And I think that's kind of what transitioned me into where I'm at. I kind of learned learning more about the craft of filmmaking. Just, and this is just for me, because there's also people who are filmmakers who will like the prequels better. It's just, it's all opinion. But that's kind of on my journey with it, why I liked, you know, began to really favor the original trilogy over the prequels. But the ideas and everything like that, like, I have a lot of nostalgia. Well, like you said, like, I think maybe my nostalgia and everything with the prequels is older than my nostalgia with the original trilogy.
Right.
I think, because, like, I don't know the exact timeline. I think I saw them, the original trilogy, right before the prequels.
Well, they did the special editions.
VHS.
Yeah.
Just at home.
Right.
And then I went to see Phantom Menace in the theater when it came out. And so, for a little kid, like,
it's
the
different.
bigger of the event, yeah, is the going to the theater, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And so, like, to me, like, this is a statement that we've said several times on this podcast before. I believe it, and I think it's true. The future of Star Wars is in television, but this, like, our conversation right now is why Star Wars will never die in theaters as long as there's theaters.
Absolutely. Which, who knows how much longer there right. will be theaters, but
that's true.
Yeah, for sure. And just the, you know, hearing a lot of the director's favorite lines and stuff from the trilogy, like, hearing about, you know, Taika Waititi, I think it was, that was talking about when, Yoda was bringing the X-Wing out of the swamp, and, you know, Luke said, "I don't believe it." And that's, you know, that's why you fail.
It was so cool to see Taika Waititi, like, calm down for a second too, and, like,
and he got serious. I've never seen him serious,
like,
before.
Super reverent about it.
Yes.
And it's so, like, to me, obviously, like, loved his episode of The Mandalorian, but now I'm even more excited for whatever movie he's bringing, because I know I think there were some people who were kind of a little hesitant. I saw that a little online of, like, yeah, Star Wars is, like, not a comedy, but
right. But
did you not see Chapter 8 of The Mandalorian?
Right. Like, of course there's levity in there, because Star Wars has always had it. Like,
right.
It's always been, there's some, you know, some humor in there, but, like, that was heavy stuff, man.
Yeah.
Even IG-88, who was, like, mostly a comedic character up until that point.
11.
Like, oh man, I did it. I did it. I was wondering how long it was going to take. I think that was
the first time
in a long time that I've done that.
I think that was your first time.
Okay. We'll say it's my first. Yeah, but so even IG-11, who was a mostly comedic character, like, got a very, you know, powerful and potent ending, right? With his sacrifice, and so yeah, I mean he's shown that he knows how to make Star Wars.
No doubt.
And you know, like you said, like, him getting, just calming down for a second and kind of showing some, like, the reverence around that one moment, which is one of my favorite moments. The whole, you know, bringing the X-Wing out of the swamp is one of the all-time greatest Star Wars moments. It's one of those quieter ones that really kind of goes under the table a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm pumped for that movie.
Yeah,
whatever it ends up being.
And I'm really glad he got to direct an episode of The Mandalorian, so we can at least get an idea of what a Star Wars movie from Taika Waititi would be like. And so on that point, we actually got a good voicemail kind of on this topic. So let's transition to some voicemails and let's see what our Mandalorian fam DeLorean,
our fam DeLoreans,
has to say about this.
Cool.
What's going on, Mando Watch? This is Mando Calrissian with a quick question. You guys described the Mandalorian Roundtable as Star Wars school, or I guess they described themselves as a Star Wars school for directors. How do you think Star Wars school would have helped the previous directors? So J.J. Abrams, Gareth Edwards, Ron Howard, Rian Johnson, how would those guys have benefited? What mistakes would they have missed? What potholes would they have avoided in Star Wars universe had they been given the same privilege to go through Star Wars school before being thrown into the mix? Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
Mando Calrissian. Oh, man, it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
How you doing, old buddy, old pal? You still okay, hanging so out think, with this loser?
I think this was a great question. I think this is a great thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we were alluding to, this has been, and they said it themselves, you know, this has been Star Wars school for a lot of people. I, for one, think that a lot of things could have been improved had the directors of the sequel trilogy and some of the standalones and stuff gone through this and directed, you know, an episode of The Mandalorian or something like that before. And so here's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I think that different directors would have gotten a lot different things from it. I think that, like, maybe J.J., could have really benefited from sitting down with Dave Filoni.
And working.
Especially when it...
Working with story. Other people with story.
Right. Right. And especially when it comes to, like, Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
I think if Dave Filoni had had more influence on that, I think it could have been...
Oh, my gosh.
Better. Right?
A lot more prequel references, that's for sure.
Right. Right. And then I think Rian Johnson could have... And look, these are not. I'm not trying to cast judgment. This has nothing to do with our thoughts on individual movies or anything. We're just talking what kind of these directors would glean from. I think Rian Johnson could have learned how to connect things, and make an installment of a story that will work with past and future installments. You know,
right? And like the good thing about Rian though is like he already has a background in television,
right?
But I think you're absolutely right. Like, I would have placed him right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, if he's going to do a middle movie, I would have placed him right in the middle and see, okay, you got to learn how to...
Like, episode 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think Gareth Edwards, like, while he was very enthusiastic and about Star Wars, I think he could have learned a lot of the craft side of things from working with like John and, you know, maybe some more experience,
how to follow a script,
filmmakers there. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not just shooting things cause they look cool. And that movie looks cool.
Oh, no doubt. But I mean, just watch the first trailer of Rogue One.
Right.
It's a completely different movie.
Yeah. And then, you know, Lorden Miller could have maybe gotten some of those other kind of skills. And
well, honestly, like I think the experience on the television show, they would have, like, Lucasfilm would have avoided pitfalls of like, oh, we don't want them for a movie,
right?
Like, thank you for doing a TV show for us, but now we know we don't want to work with you. I mean, because one of the major rumors coming out of that film, that production, one of the reasons, this is so ridiculous, but one of the reasons of like the conflict was like Kathleen Kennedy did not like their socks. Like, in the sense, like, that is not a joke. Go back and like look that up. Like, I think that alludes to a bigger thing of like there's a big personality clash.
Yeah.
Right. Like they were kind of almost very flippant in her view of like what they were doing.
Yeah. I think if this is like kind of the direction maybe they're going to go, because it's looking like, you know, okay, Taika did The Mandalorian, loved working with him there, let's give him a movie. You know, if that's kind of what we're doing, I'm excited for those implications. I think
super excited for the Deborah Chow movie.
Yes. I want that. It's got to be like some kind of, like, maybe a bounty hunter movie, or
like a Jedi samurai movie.
Yeah, either like maybe like a High Republic type movie where we can get some, you know, crazy, just, it's got to be like an action-packed, just, you know, full throttle.
It's interesting too, because now we do know some confirmed directors for season two of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And with this thought going forward, it kind of makes me wonder, okay, so like, we know some new directors for season two, one of them being Robert Rodriguez.
Yep.
He has background in film. He's made several films. And then another one is Peyton Reed, who has made the Ant-Man films.
Yep.
So I feel like that's kind of interesting. And like, now it gives me a new perspective of like, are they putting people on these shows on purpose to see if they can make a Star Wars movie?
Right. And you know, with this, just like everything, there's a limit to which I want them to take this. If they are even doing this intentionally. Because, like, I also want them to be putting directors on The Mandalorian who's going to make The Mandalorian great.
No doubt.
You know, not just, you know, kind of using it as a you know, grooming mechanism for directors in the future, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, The Mandalorian is their best product they've got going right now.
I think it's just more of a side benefit.
Yeah.
I don't think that's their main goal, but
yeah,
it is like something that's on their radar, I hope.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. And I mean, they're definitely using it, because Deborah Chow has already been kind of given the Obi-Wan show, and
right.
So, you know, they're taking note of, you know, people that they like working with and people who have, you know, seem to adapt the process. So, I'm excited. But yeah, I think I do, back to the original kind of premise of the question, I think if there had been something like this, or just more input and influence from, you know, figures like Dave, you know, on the legacy aspect of the sequel trilogy, I think that, you know, that could have benefited the franchise as a whole.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's do another voicemail.
Let's do it.
Hey, Mac. Hey, Alex. This is John. I'm calling from Des Moines. Been listening to you guys for so long now. I'd appreciate any more content that you guys want to give. And yeah, just have a few questions that maybe you guys could pound out for me. Wondering if Ahsoka is time traveling like she was in Rebels, and she's going to be a Mandalorian, then what's going on with time? I mean, is everything changing? I said this to my wife last night. She thought I was ridiculous, but maybe Baby Yoda is Yoda, and Ahsoka is going to take Yoda back in time? Anyways, if there is a place for Yoda to be. So these are my questions. Appreciate the show, guys. You guys do such a good job when trying to search through the last episode for the phone number again. Every 15-second jump was Mac laughing. So, yeah, love your laugh, man. Like your name better than Alex's, too. So, all right. Thanks, guys. Keep the watch.
What the heck, John?
What? Finally got one. I finally got one.
Why?
I've had a few.
But the unnecessary shot.
No, I think it was appropriate. Look, you're always taking shots at me on this very pod.
Never have I once taken a shot at you.
Fans out there, give me some timestamps if you know them. Send us a list of timestamps every time that Alex takes a shot at me. There's many. Yeah. But John, thanks for calling in. Thanks for supporting me in my laugh, in my name. I appreciate it. I feel like
Laughgate.
Laughgate.
There's a lot of reviews on Apple podcast about
laughing.
If you
laughing. Ever want to... Oh, and you got included in it last time. I did.
It was both of us. Normally
it's me singled out for laughing, but last time I didn't feel as special because it was both of us. But
I mean, you do laugh more than me.
It's true.
But when we get Joan and Marie on, man, it just...
Oh, yeah.
We just all are laughing the whole time.
And you know what? I like it.
I do, too. It's like, sorry, like, we're joyful.
Right. Sorry we're enjoying this franchise that we love. Like, I mean,
We could be NPR hosts.
Welcome to NPR Mandalorian Watch.
Welcome to the Mandalorian Watch. You are now joining...
Sit back and relax.
Alex Maxwell.
Hey, Mac Lacey.
Joining me as always.
All right.
But you know what?
We could be doing that. But you know what? We want to... I even get my hands involved sometimes.
Sorry for laughing. Sorry, my name's Alex.
I'm not sorry. My name's Mac because it's...
Sorry you don't like it, John.
Anyways, John, back to your question. Let's take your question seriously now. The way I understand The World Between Worlds, which if anybody hasn't watched Rebels, I know that this wasn't a particular episode that we covered, you know, in our rewatch or anything like that, but maybe we are going to have to expand our rewatch come season two, because there's a lot of stuff that
we won't,
you know,
I can go ahead and answer this question. They will not address The World Between Worlds at all in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, well, the way I understand The World Between Worlds is it's not necessarily like a sci-fi time travel-y type thing. It's more spiritual. It's more the Force, right? So I don't know that like the same sort of hard sci-fi time travel rules would apply to anything like that.
Okay, here's the... Like, if we're talking about time travel in Star Wars, in The World Between Worlds... In Star Wars Rebels, it was the first time it was that concept was really kind of introduced in Star Wars, especially in canon. But here's kind of the rules for that. It works more off the lost time travel rules in the sense of whatever happened. They're not changing time. Like if it happened that way, it always happened that way. So in terms of Ahsoka being pulled out of the time stream, it always happened that way. They didn't change time. She just always disappeared from that point in time.
Yeah.
So in terms of the Mandalorian, if she takes Baby Yoda and it's actually Yoda, it's not, in my opinion, they're not going to do that because that would like confuse everyone and make everyone very angry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be some unnecessary heat that they're not going to want to take. But it's an interesting thought.
It is interesting, and like I would like it, but literally 99% of everyone else would hate it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would like it that much, but it's an interesting thought, like a what if scenario, you know.
I think they had different colored eyes too, Baby Yoda and Yoda.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, John, thanks so much for your calling in. And thanks for liking my name better than Alex's.
No comment. No comment. All right. Well, that was two good voicemails. I think we should get into
the elephant in the room, the bantha in the cantina here,
the bounty hunter at the table,
the
yeah, I just made that one up.
I'm out. Okay, so here is the big old road signs that say spoilers ahead. From this point on, we are going to be talking full potential spoilers. It's nothing that we know, you know, we haven't heard it from Lucasfilm or Star Wars or anything like that, but yeah, we are going to get into some stuff that if you want to be completely surprised by everything in Mandalorian Season 2, probably want to turn this off. So if that's you, thank you guys so much for listening. You hit us up on Twitter and check out the Patreon and all that. We love you. Keep the watch. So now in 3, 2, 1, it's spoiler time, baby.
Boba Fett's back.
Is he, though?
Yes. It's not going to be Rex.
Okay, so
no,
I want to just say, I am never right about anything other than the armorer being a Zabrak, and I was right about something.
I actually went back and checked the tape. We were both right.
Okay. Okay.
But by the end of the conversation, we had both convinced ourselves that it was Moff Gideon and not Boba Fett.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I need to go review the tape.
You were right first.
Cool. Yeah. But, so, basically, Temuera Morrison is rumored, and it's pretty credible.
I mean, it's a Hollywood Reporter.
It's Hollywood, yeah.
And... typically, they don't run with things unless they've got something. Like, they don't just make things up.
And this is not, like, a nerd space outlet, either. This is a major entertainment coverage outlet. Yeah. So, it's looking like Temuera Morrison is going to be Boba Fett.
Yeah, and in the article from the Hollywood Reporter, it specifically mentioned he would be Boba Fett, and it would be... he would not be in the season for very long.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in it a lot. So, I know there was already, like, speculation of, like, what if he's Rex? I'm telling you right now, don't get your hopes up for that. Because the end of Chapter 5, now that is clearly Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Yep. And then, I mean, I like that there's foreshadowing even that far back. You know, I hope maybe this means that even we might get Ming-Na back in season two.
I think that's already confirmed. I want to say that it is. Okay. So it's like she's teaming up with Boba Fett, I'm assuming.
Yeah. It's almost a callback to Jango and Zam.
Yes.
In that regard, right?
I mean, yes. And
We even said it, like in our episode 5 commentary, she actually kind of looks like Zam, like her helmet and stuff. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Okay, so here's my thoughts on this. If you're bringing Boba Fett back,
Boba Fett.
Number one,
Boba Fett.
Number one, this is something like if you haven't realized this by now, Star Wars has a very bad habit, or good habit, of bringing dead characters back to life.
Yes.
I mean, that is just part of Star Wars. Like, that's just what happens. And so, this is something that George Lucas wanted to happen. Like, I think he realized he made a mistake with Boba Fett in terms of just getting him out because he just wanted to finish the story.
Yeah, and who could foresee the impact that just by his appearance alone Boba Fett has made on the fans, right? Like, that's not like something you can bank on, right?
And so he made his way out of the Sarlacc somehow. I'm assuming he fought his way out, and he's back now. I'm guessing we're not going to see Temuera Morrison in person. I think we're just going to hear him.
Get his voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
As Boba Fett should be.
Yeah. I don't think he should take off his helmet.
No. I think keep it on the whole time. And so this is a chance for what was promised about Boba Fett to be delivered on. Like, by his look, by his menacing presence.
To be a villain. I do not need a team up with him and the Mandalorian. I need him to be the antithesis of Din Djarin.
Right. Which both of, like, Din Djarin's not like a, you know, black and white hero either, but like, maybe by the end of the series of season one he is, but,
Well, I kind of want to just like, man, I hope this happens. I text you this. Like, I would love for season two to end this way because it would be like the dark middle chapter if it did. Boba Fett's a bounty hunter, right?
Yep.
Well, what if...
There's a bounty out.
Yeah, there's a bounty out. What if at the very end of season two, Boba Fett just totally wrecks the Mandalorian and beats him? And then takes Baby Yoda, and that's the end of the season.
Yep. I could see it, and it'd be harrowing, but awesome.
Now, also, like, keep your... I do feel like I need to put this warning out. Keep your expectations in check of what we might be expecting. This could be a flashback. Absolutely. I mean,
yeah,
he could have been a mentor figure to the Mandalorian.
Right.
This could be... This could be Captain Rex with Ahsoka. This could be Jango Fett, for all we know, in a flashback.
Got his head back on.
he's got a robot head now.
Yeah, that's great. The muscle memory's all there. That's all you need. oh, dude, that'd be a cool comic. Like a very, very small scale story. If someone like managed, like Dr. Evazan, maybe like managed to,
we've got very different kind
body.
Yeah, we got different definitions of cool.
Well, I mean, terrifying, but
okay.
like the Death Troopers, how they were originally supposed to have small heads, you know?
Because they're like robots. Because
they like took the heads off. Yeah. So. Let's just discuss the possibility, because a lot of people are talking about it. Let's just talk about Rex for a second. To me, I think Rex is out of the picture because clones age at a more rapid pace than normal humans. And this is decades after the Clone Wars.
Yeah, but if you want to believe what Dave Filoni was hinting at, that he was the bearded man on Endor,
right?
So I mean, it's possible
he's a fast old man, and I mean it'd only be 6 or 7, depending on when season 2 takes place.
I just don't think it's Rex.
Yeah, it'd be a deeper pull, I think, even than Ahsoka. To bring into a live action series, because Ahsoka's distinct and has made her mark, I think, at this point.
Here's the thing, too, with both of these rumors, really, Ahsoka, but especially Boba Fett. Boba Fett's going to click more with a general audience.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to pop. Like, this is probably the biggest news we've got out of The Mandalorian so far. Right. Bigger than Ahsoka. Like, and as much as I love Ahsoka, and people are coming to love Ahsoka from just watching these final few episodes of Clone Wars, the general audience still doesn't really connect with her. Like, that's not something that's going to pop with a general audience. Boba Fett is. Everybody knows who Boba Fett is.
Yeah.
And that's what just leads me to believe that it's going to be Boba Fett. And the fact that Lucasfilm isn't squashing these rumors immediately leads me to believe that these are true. Now,
right. They,
I say this with some grain of salt, because sometimes they seem kind of tone deaf on that stuff. Like, you should squash these rumors if it's not true, because you're going to disappoint a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see.
He's back.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. He's the guy at the end of Chapter 5. That's him.
He's the gunslinger. Yeah. And that's why I don't think it's going to be a flashback either. I think it's, we're going to get Boba Fett. And I think
he's the villain.
He's the villain, yeah. Which is going to be, that's how he should be. Boba Fett should be just a cold-blooded killer. Like, he is just a hunter. He has one motivation, and that's just getting the bounty, going on to the next bounty, right?
Yeah, I don't want him as a hero. Now, he is more sympathetic from the episodes that he had in the Clone Wars, which we might actually revisit on the Patreon.
We might need to
But he should be a villain, in my opinion, especially in this series. Because... Yeah. I just don't want a team up. That's not what I'm looking for from The Mandalorian.
I could see them pulling they team up to defeat Moff Gideon in maybe the second to last episode, and then Boba Fett turns on him.
I could see them doing that.
Yeah. Like, that's not necessarily the way I'd want it to go if I had my druthers, right? But I could see them going that route.
Yeah, but
like,
then who would Boba Fett give Baby Yoda to?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Maybe it's not Baby Yoda that is the bounty that he's chasing. You know, it could be
revenge.
Like,
he just wants to kill Din.
It could be revenge, right. Like, you stole my look.
Now here's something that I did think about briefly, because one of the rumors about Michael Biehn was that he would look very similar to his character in Tombstone, which has a big, like, hat, right?
Yep.
What if he... I gotta prepare myself to say this. What if Michael Biehn is playing Cad Bane?
Whoa. yeah, that's a brand new sentence. That's never been said. There's no way...
I didn't think there was any way we'd ever see Ahsoka on live action.
That's true, but...
And we know from the unused Clone Wars scripts that Cad Bane trained Boba Fett.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Cad Bane is a great character.
He's fantastic.
Like, I love him. Like, I think it's awesome. I think he's, like, kind of representing this, like, old guard of bounty hunters, right? And he's,
He just wouldn't work on screen, would he?
I don't think so. Like, if you've seen the Duros on screen, just look, they don't hit the same as when they're animated, you know?
Just a thought. But, it was just a thought.
Yeah. But it'd be cool.
I just wanted to say it just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just get that on wax.
TM. I wanted to TM it. TM.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, just like Mandalorians.
Yes.
Cool. Well, yeah, that's that. We probably will not be fielding many voicemails or anything like that on Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean,
just because
if we get a ton, if we get more news on Boba Fett,
right,
we'll take them and we'll talk about them, but still with a spoiler tag. But yeah.
So we'll see. But if you have them, send them on in. Obviously, on the Patreon, too, maybe we'll set up, like, a specific thread for spoiler, like, potential spoiler talks so that people can avoid that if they want.
I think we should do it on this one.
Yeah?
Well, in terms of, like, building a thread so people could talk about this one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get it. Yeah, you can do that.
Because I think our patrons want to talk about this.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's about going to do it. You got anything else, Alex?
I don't think so.
Cool. Cool. Well, this has been fun. This has been great. I love recording in the morning. We're recording in the morning right now.
You're much more awake.
I am. Haven't worked all day. Got a whole day's worth of energy still left in the tank, you know?
Got some coffee. Are you a coffee drinker?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been sipping on. Yeah. So. Like me some coffee, some calf.
How do you take your calf?
Just black.
Mm-hmm. No cream,
no sugar.
I don't do sugar. I do some cream though.
Yeah.
I like it a little brown.
It feels so much like heavier if it's got cream and stuff in it.
Yes, it does.
You like that?
Yeah.
that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, to each his own, you know?
Team no sugar though.
Yeah, for sure. Hard stance against it.
Yeah.
I
mean, no, I could drink it black if you dared me to. Like I used to drink it black, but you know, I want to enjoy it.
You know, I only enjoy it when it's black. I don't like it when it has other stuff in there.
Sometimes, like the coffee at my school where I work at tastes like jet fuel, so I need cream. So I'm just, I got in the habit of it.
When I'm actually physically in my office, the coffee there tastes like if a coffee bean once met a cup of hot water, and then the lingering memory.
So like the LaCroix of coffee.
Yes, exactly. So... if I put anything in there, it's not even coffee anymore. You have to take it full strength if you even want it to resemble coffee slightly. So,
Nice.
Anyway, this has been Mandalorian Coffee Talk. I take my coffee as black as Arcanus Rex's armor.
You a Starbucks fan?
No.
Bon Life?
No.
Okay.
When I lived in Cleveland, I never went to Bon Life. I was an Inman Street coffee guy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Bon Life just seems a little, it's just a little much for me. It's a little much.
I think, like, I thought that was, like, right down your alley.
No,
the vibe it gives off is, like, totally Mac.
No. Pretentious and bougie?
Yeah.
What? No, All right. Anyway, this has been Coffee Talk with Mac and Alex.
Like, only two people know what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
It's the two people talking.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. Boba Fett's
anyway,
back.
That's true.
He drinks his coffee black, no doubt.
Yeah, his calf.
No
yeah.
doubt. And it's right. cold.
Yeah, because it's been in...
It's actually Jango Fett made it, and he just hasn't got rid of it yet.
That's the coffee Boba Fett drinks, for sure. All right, that's going to do it. Let's get out of here. We love you guys, and... Hit us up on Twitter and the Patreon voicemails. And until next time, keep the watch.